Facebook. Haideți, haideți, haideți cu mine sub nuc. Facebook, Facebook, hai cu mine sus în nuc. Hâța, hâța, numai odată să vă duc.
Happy New Year and welcome to the tech segment of We're Drunk and We Know Things. We are, for a change, recording in JB's, drinking Tiny Rebel Dutty. And this month, we are talking about the social media of yesteryear. Tenuous.
That's what I do. I drink. And I know things.
Yeah, so a bit of a stretch, but it's why. And the other options on the ballot
were...
And
we thought, why not?
Didn't we make that joke in December?
No, we said, why are you doing another episode?
Yeah. The rest of the options for the tech segment were YouTube, which we both agreed would have been horrible.
Yeah, I would just shouting
I mean, not
about...
so much the episode itself, but the comments.
Pseudo-celebrity nonsense. I couldn't have dealt with it. It would have been
or
a bad time.
Or Y2K. And there's no way I can fill an hour talking about, you know, what are basically...
You couldn't understand all the
overflows.
Zeros. Yeah, it
yeah,
wouldn't have been that.
No. So we're back for a new year.
Yeah.
We're getting very close to the end of the alphabet.
Oh, there's a vinegar strokes.
Ooh.
Wait, tune in for Z when you will see our O faces. You know, O.
O?
O.
O.
Oh.
Oh. So what have we got? What's going on? Where are we? We're in JB's.
We are.
Of course, because it's January, so...
We're not sitting outside. Yeah, absolutely not.
We have a new producer this year.
Yes, we do.
Mr. Tom Anderson.
Tom Anderson. He's everyone's friend.
Hopefully, he's going to be able to dig us out of the trench that we found ourselves at the bottom of off the back of the Christmas Live episode.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, you wouldn't have thought it would cost that much to repair a pizza place, but...
It's true. I always thought the roof is on fire was just like a fun song that people sing.
We took the roof off it.
It's true. Shouldn't have drunk
that much
ale.
And we are talking about the social networks of yesteryear. That's where the Y comes in. Yesteryear.
Yesteryear.
There's two of them, for good measure.
Yeah. It's a double whammy.
There's a Y2. Okay.
Y2? Okay. Oh, fucking hell. Let's get started.
For as long as mankind has existed, we have had a drive to... What?
I swear to God, if you start with cave paintings, I'm going to kill you. That was the original MySpace page. You are, aren't you? You're going to start with
I was actually going to mention it. It's kind of relevant.
It's a picture of me with a cow.
Because we can't talk about social networks without understanding why it is we have this strange obsession with tribalism.
It's true.
The idea that we need to form small groups of like-minded individuals.
Can't think of anything funny. Go on.
There isn't anything funny. This is very serious
this is
shit,
a very serious business. Oh, New Year, New Us.
Yeah.
No more dick jokes.
Oh, yeah. By the way, this is no longer a comedy podcast.
Yeah.
And they're gone. So mankind has this thing where we group together.
We do.
For safety, for shared resources.
True.
And, of course, with the advent of... Do you group together for boning?
I do.
Maybe not so much anymore.
I don't know.
With the advent of... modern technology and the fact that we now work in live in a world that is for the very privileged members of the Western world.
Sure,
it's fundamentally without danger, unless you live in New York.
Hey,
awesome
one. Oh, nice.
And as a result, we don't have the requirement for safety anymore.
True.
Concept of grouping together to find resources and food has kind of been evolved away by the advent of the supermarket and a bunch of other stuff, and yet we still have this strange burning urge to network.
Yes.
And with the advent of the internet, this manifests itself in a couple of ways that I suppose we could call the true precursor to the modern social network that we'll get into in great detail, fear not.
Oh, Rim. you know how I feel about social media. Anyway, yeah, go on.
And these are things like the original BBS communities, where people would, you know, phone up and dial up another system, but they would be communicating with people. And the key thing about BBS is the removal of geographic constraint.
What does BBS stand for?
Bulletin board system.
Thank you. Oh, yes, of course. Yeah, sure. Okay, yeah.
And all of a sudden, we've got people who are communicating across without any regard for the traditional village concept, where you have to be in the same place as the people you wanted to talk to.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. You're not all just down the local chatting anymore. You're in a virtual local.
Exactly. Prior to that, it would take months to communicate with someone on the other side of the world.
Yeah. Dear Cynthia, it has been 3 weeks since my last correspondence.
You have not answered. I fear the ship may have sunk.
I fear consumption has taken you and the children.
I bade you well, Cynthia. You were the best shag I ever had.
It's the old Dear John letters. It's not quite the same on Facebook.
It doesn't have the same... Well, actually, it has more urgency, but it's the fact that people forget making public. So we've got BBS, we've got Usenet, which is another form of kind of originally email-driven networking, for want of a better word, or socialisation. We've got email lists, mailing lists.
Yeah.
Where you would send an email in and everybody else on that list would get a copy of that email.
It's getting
and we
all
could
loads
communicate.
Of people in trouble because it's GDPR now. It's hilarious. You get an email saying, would you like to buy this new thing? And then you get another email saying, we just realised we weren't meant to email you about this thing.
There's been a lot of backing away from the whole mailing list concept, granted. Thank you, the EU, for that and many, many other things.
Straight bananas? No, I'm kidding.
Let's talk about what we're actually talking about. Because when we say a social network these days, social media, we mean a website or web-based platform.
Yes.
I think that's fair.
Web-based platform seems reasonable, yeah.
So the early examples of these are frankly hilarious.
Okay.
Because when the web first came out, the first thing that happened, you know, the BBS crowd, the forum crowd, and all the rest of it were like, oh my God, we can use the web to do, well, forums, granted.
We can, like, share scientific studies and stuff.
Yeah, we can, more importantly, we can band together as groups of people, of like-minded people. So, a couple of the early emerging...
Are we talking about hackers right now?
No, a couple of the early emerging... No, we're not. We may talk about them later.
Right.
A couple of the early emerging social networks that are amazingly, beautifully dialed in. See if you can guess what their core audience was.
Right.
This is not the quiz. That's coming up later.
Okay, nice.
We have Asian Avenue.
Right.
A social network website for Asian people.
Who live on avenues.
I'm guessing.
Not if you lived on a cul-de-sac. Fuck you.
Or a road.
Road, yeah, exactly. Haven't fit.
We have Black Planet, slightly more inclusive.
Sure.
You just have to be black and live on a planet.
I feel like that covers a lot of almost everyone.
Yeah, everyone that we're aware of. We've got Migente, which was strictly for Hispanics.
Right.
I mean, I say strictly. I'm not sure how they were enforcing this.
Sorry, these are very early precursors.
These are like, we're talking...
Before MySpace, before...
Yeah,
that
96
kind of stuff.
To 98, early doors, the web's just about a thing.
So is it a place for minorities to come together online to as a solidarity thing?
Well, this is it. It's the whole tribal network.
There wasn't
it's
like...
the reason that...
I was about to say, there was not whiteface. I'm sorry. That would immediately be misused in such a terrible way. Oh, God.
It was a subset of Black Planet.
Oh, right,
it was where they put all the honkies.
Oh, God.
The biggest early network was something called Six Degrees.
Right.
It was all about Kevin Bacon. It was actually named after the Six Degrees of Separation.
Oh, to say that everyone is joined by Six Degrees in some way.
And it had this amazing kind of social graph concept, which allowed you to friend people and what have you. And the reason that all of these networks, the early ones that were slightly racially... biased.
Right, okay, yeah.
Although we'll come back to that as well later, because that's still a thing. And Six Degrees. The reason they didn't work was fundamentally there was a complete lack of people connected to the internet.
Sure, yeah, that makes sense.
So in 1998, less than 2% of the world's population actually had web access.
Less than 2%?
Yeah.
What is it now?
Circa 50-something percent.
I thought it way more than that.
No.
Really?
Well, there's a lot of people in places that don't have, like, telecoms.
Sure. Yeah, there is
a
staggering amount
of
poverty in
the
world.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, sure. Right.
Anyway, Happy New Year, everyone.
Isn't
your
it great?
Your first bummer.
Isn't it great being a white guy in a pub who's just like, the poor people, I know. You mean they haven't got Facebook? Jesus Christ, I hate myself.
We can look at the rise of what I suppose we consider to be modern social media that corresponds quite neatly with... You're not going to redo that gag. Okay,
oh, okay,
fine.
No, fine. I didn't think it landed.
Okay. Well, clearly not, because they're never going to hear it. You're never going to know. Could have been the funniest thing we've ever said.
Definitely
you'll
wasn't.
You'll have no idea. The rise of social media corresponds with the rise of, or the prevalence of, access to the web, which
is kind of
backed up by the PC revolution, computers in the home. Uh-huh. Of course, we're still way pre-smartphones or anything like that.
Yeah,
if you wanted to connect
to
the internet, big box, big screen.
Beep, beep. Yeah.
It's actually that's my karaoke.
Is it?
Yeah, I do Sound of a Modem dialing CompuServe circa 1996.
Oh, that is shrill.
It
just
really
look at
our
producer's
going.
Face when they move close. Yeah. Takes one, take that, Tom Anderson.
And I suppose the first social network that wasn't one of the other ones we've talked about is generally acknowledged to be Friendster.
Oh, okay, right, yeah. I've heard the name, but that's it. Didn't
Friendster.
It turn into a music thing?
It did.
Sorry, I don't mean to preempt you. Sorry.
Friendster was basically founded by a couple of, I want to say Canadians, but I think I've got that wrong already.
Right. You don't want to be wrong about that.
Eh. Really?
Yeah. Didn't do the other gag, that one I'm leaving in.
Friendster was one of the first networks to allow you to have a network of friends. Yawn. And this is the thing, is looking back on this stuff, it's really easy to be incredibly dismissive.
Sure.
At the time, given what they were working with in terms of technology and in terms of connectivity and what have you, they were all pretty fucking cool. A lot of work went into building.
What was Friendster? Was it just like statuses, or was it just sending each other messages?
It was all of the above.
Do you remember when that was a thing, when you used to say on Facebook, like, Mike Dean is having a shit, or like going out for dinner? It was weird. What happened to that?
At the same time.
Now it's like, Brexit!
Yeah. The main thing that makes Friendster interesting is it was the first social network to break over 1 million members.
Oh, wow. Okay. Right.
1 million members.
Yeah, sure.
Just remember that number for what's about to come.
Yeah, yeah.
It was the top online social network service until April 2004.
Until there was a second one.
In April 2004, it was overtaken by MySpace.
Ah.
MySpace, of course, founded in 2003.
Oh, MySpace was legit.
No idea who's behind that either, because I completely funded the research.
Tom Anderson.
Tom Anderson founded MySpace, yes, we've covered that off mic. And he's now producing our podcast, so that's what happened to him, guys and girls.
Wheels within wheels, what a fall from grace.
Wow. Did you have a MySpace account?
I used to. I had a MySpace account.
I mean, don't remember having a MySpace account.
I think
account.
I still have one, and I just abandoned it, so if I could remember my login and password, I guess I could still get into it.
Yeah.
Ooh, what a time
still
capsule.
Live.
Ooh, what a time capsule. That'd be amazing.
Mike Dean is having a shit.
Oh, my God. I'd have red hair.
What was out? Ooh. What was out in the movies in 2003?
No,
what
I just
would
mostly,
you have been ranting
I mostly
about?
Used it
or would
to
it,
get
no,
drunk.
Musically, what would you have
it
been?
It would have been music. It would have been just like loads of shit about how amazing NoFX were.
Nice.
Aren't the Offspring the best punk band ever?
Because that was the thing is, MySpace originally launched as very much a way to share photos that were taken using
like bands.
Really crappy...
Fans had MySpace pages because it was
really,
like...
Yeah, but the photos were taken using really crappy camera phones.
Yeah, you remember,
before you had an iPhone, it would spit out this little like postage stamp.
Good Lord.
And, yeah, there was a massive musical subculture that kind of blossomed.
Well, it suddenly
on
became very easy for bands to have a free website that they
totally.
Can host their music and purchase their gigs on. So, understandably, they took it up,
So,
is it still a thing, though? Is it still...
MySpace is still online.
That's amazing.
You can totally still log in. I think they archived off your old stuff, went into kind of like a bin of crap.
Because I've closed
like,
that email
like, you know
address
when you move
well
out,
that you,
you know
with.
When you move out of the family home?
Right.
And you eventually go back and your mum's just boxed up all your stuff and put it in the garage? MySpace, I think, has done that.
So if I did a GDPR request for data and information to MySpace, would they have to give me all the data and information they've got on them?
Well, they'd probably tell you to fuck off, but you know, you could try it. Tune in next month,
I
listeners, to see how this went.
Tune in next month for me to have forgotten all about this conversation. Wait, what's MySpace?
2003.
Right.
MySpace launches. So does LinkedIn.
Right.
Because the business of business is now
Men
the business
with pages
of the web.
Were feeling left out.
LinkedIn, annoyingly, still a place where people go to... I'm not exactly sure what you do on LinkedIn.
I know this guy. And I get email notifications all the time. He's constantly posting things on there, like it is MySpace. And every time I get a notification that he is posting something, it makes me giggle a little bit. Because I like that somebody's putting in the legwork of the LinkedIn still.
Originally, LinkedIn was fundamentally just a network for like professional connections, right?
Yeah.
So rather than yours,
so hookers,
rather than your friendship group,
right?
So not hookers.
They're professionals. How
they
dare
are,
you?
But you're friends with them because you're friends, not because of what they do.
I'm as much friends with them as I am with the people I actually work with. Oh God, some of them listen to this.
Seriously,
I mean, I love them.
Yeah, you're connected to all of them on LinkedIn. That shows the
depth of your, a bit. Yeah.
But that's what I mean. It was a way for people to connect to their workmates. Yeah. It was also a very useful way to demonstrate your professional history rather than your personal history.
Right.
And keep the two things completely separate.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
And of course, it then turned into basically a massive recruitment platform. Irritation and annoyance. But it is kind of.
I always thought that's what it was for.
Well.
That it was a recruitment platform that it always was there.
We'll talk about monetization in a bit.
Oh,
that
so,
may
okay,
have been
so
their end game,
changed, okay.
But I think when it first launched...
Can you link your LinkedIn pages to your Facebook page?
I don't
Why
think
you
so.
Would want to, but you, no. you can't. Okay.
There have been a couple that have done some attempt at aggregation.
Because that's insane.
And we'll talk about those when we get to them.
Yeah, yeah.
So, 2004.
Oh-ho.
What happened in 2004?
I returned 21 and I moved to Jersey.
What else happened in 2004?
Mate, I just moved to Jersey. I was so drunk. I'd literally just moved to Jersey. Facebook.
Yeah. Happened in 2004. I am not going to give you any details at all about the history of Facebook.
Because you can watch it on the
Go
social
and watch
network.
The social network.
Yeah, go and watch the social
I literally
network.
Have this in my notes. Facebook, 2004. Watch the social network.
Yeah, it's good.
All of the shit good. About the lawsuits and what have you and you
Aaron
know, what
Sorkin
have you, is,
and David Fincher have come out recently to say
they
they're working
make
on
a new
they're
one.
Working on a script for a sequel.
Yeah.
As like, that would be so good.
That I still love that film.
Yeah,
I hate the company it represents now.
Yeah,
but I love that film.
Well, it doesn't romanticise them though, does it?
Oh, the exact opposite.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. If only we'd all listened.
So, Facebook comes out in 2004. Of course, in summary, Facebook allowed you to connect to friends, but their big thing was initially
attack
they targeted
strangers.
Universities only.
Sure.
So they
yeah,
rolled out
was,
at Harvard
yeah,
to start with and then rolled out across universities around the world.
And it was
the
called The Facebook then as well.
Seriously.
I've seen the film.
I mean, take great delight in...
There were two army hammers, one of which was digital.
Yeah. Although, to be honest, both very charismatic.
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah, Facebook rolled out, did its thing, and bear in mind, it's scary to think that Facebook was launched a year after MySpace.
That is mental, because I feel like I had a MySpace page for years.
Because the one thing you do not get from the social network is the chronology in terms of representation of time.
He's talking to Justin Timberlake, who's like the Napster guy, and I thought Napster was over years before Facebook
Well, Napster
started.
Was out in 97, 98. So it was.
Right. But the guy was still a big deal, because he was still the guy that invented Napster.
Yeah, so, Sean, what's his chops?
Is that even a thing anymore?
Scott Penn.
Scott Kahn.
No.
The son of James Kahn invented Napster.
It's,
you heard it here first.
Sean Napster.
And then he funded Hawaii 5-0 and now
Come
he's
on.
In that.
Now, he did actually, that's true, he did actually invest in Facebook. Sean Parker, of course. Thank you to our producer. He's good. Can we keep this one?
Well, because he knows him.
Well,
they're all in the same group, right? Tom Anderson, Zuckerberg, Scott Parker. They're all like...
That wasn't... I thought you'd show me a Google
hot
link.
Tub.
It wasn't. That was actually his address book.
They're all in a hot tub, drinking Mai Tais, watching each other jerk off. It's...
Also, good work on still rocking the Nokia 3310, Tom.
It is weird.
Yeah.
Although, if you could...
Not the new one.
If you could stop
the
playing Snake and actually
one.
Monitor the levels, that would be great.
No, he's playing with his Snake. He's masturbating on the
I'm
going
to let you sit in that for a minute.
He's choking the spitting cobra.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Okay, let's move on.
Please. 2005, and we have another classic, as in people will have heard of it, probably didn't have one, a classic network called Bebo.
The Chinese one?
No.
The Irish one?
No. This one, I think, was actually Canadian originally.
More boiler, I don't know. Right.
Now, Bebo had this concept that, again, you could connect to a bunch of friends and there was a stream of stuff, but their mantra, the name, derives from the concept of blog early, blog often. Because there's a whole another side that isn't social of internet content sharing revolution that was going on in the late 90s, early noughties.
Yeah.
which was the concept of weblogging, or blogging.
When Blogspot blew up.
Yeah, Blogspot blew up, Live Journal was a thing.
Yeah.
And to be honest, by and large, all of these had elements of social.
Right.
There was commentary, there were often...
Well, the upvotes and downvotes and stuff like that, I guess.
Yeah, well, we'll come back to that in a sec.
Right.
There was a lot of networking that went on within blogging, but they weren't designed specifically to support it.
Sure.
Bebo came out and said, well, everybody's blogging, they may as well use us.
Right.
Now, Bebo's killer feature was they would pull in content from... You could connect MySpace, you could connect Facebook.
Oh, so it was an aggregation.
You could connect LiveJournal. So there was an aggregation element.
Right, yeah.
Which should have made them the killer network. For whatever reason, it didn't.
Is it still a thing?
No.
Facebook bought it.
Correction. Yes. No, it was bought by a Chinese media group and is now very much focused on
a gaming community.
That's
why it's a Chinese thing. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. So computer games, not board games.
Sure.
Or football.
Right.
Whew. 2006, there is a little festival that's held every year in Austin, Texas.
Right.
Do you know what this festival's called? You should.
I don't
because one third of it is directly related to the bit you're interested in.
It's not Sundance.
It's still
South by Southwest.
Yes.
Yeah.
South by Southwest is actually a festival that's split into thirds, right?
So it's music, films.
Music, film, and?
Tech?
Yeah, duh.
I didn't know that.
I mean, literally, all we need to do is find somebody who gives a shit about music and we can do a South by Southwest podcast.
I knew it was music and film. I didn't know it was a...
Yeah, they have an entire week dedicated to tech.
Well,
and at South by Southwest in 2006, a couple of guys got together and demoed a system that allowed you to post very short updates using SMS.
Okay, right, yeah, sure.
That system was called the Twitter.
Fuck's sake. Right. Fucking Twitter. You know how I feel about Twitter.
Yeah, it wasn't called the Twitter either.
Wouldn't be surprised.
And it went crazy.
So you used to update Twitter by text.
Yeah, hence the very short character limit.
Right,
160 characters.
In a text. Yeah.
140, allowing for a username and the fact that tweets are 8-bit encoded, SMS is 7-bit encoded.
Right.
So smileys.
I say right, like I'm going to file that away for a rainy day, but sure, yeah, okay, yeah. Just look pretty, Mike.
Yeah, so Twitter was founded in 2006. We're going to spend a bit of time on Twitter, I'm afraid, so brace yourself. Because Twitter's impact on the world of social...
Toxic. Horrendously, horribly toxic.
Okay, yes.
Sorry, I'll save my comments at the end.
It wasn't originally, because originally it was a bunch of basically like-minded nerds who used it to share links to cool resources,
right.
Same stories and what have you.
Mm. All the good stuff that people still do on Twitter, to be fair.
Yeah, and to be honest, originally Twitter was a very open and non-commercialised platform. They had an API that was incredibly permissive.
And then some venture capitalist was like, how would you like $10 bajillion? And then suddenly it wasn't.
Again, we'll come back to that. It was incredibly permissive. It was a very open space.
Right.
And things like the hashtag.
Still pretty permissive, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, weird, that, isn't it? Yeah.
Still fairly open. Things like the hashtag,
gotta
right?
Provide a platform
the hashtag
to everyone,
was actually invented based on a user submission.
Right.
It was a suggestion by a user that they prefixing groups of tweets with a hash.
Okay.
So that they could actually have a network within the network because. Right. Twitter, when it was first up and running, was growing like crazy and didn't really have time to do any kind of engineering or UX or what have you.
So somebody provided like actual code behind it and stuff?
No.
Or they just said, you should do this?
The concept and people started using it.
Right.
Because it was easy to use the search tool to search for hashtag We're Drunk and We Know Things.
I see,
by the way, if you ever need to search for us, we are hashtag WDAWKT.
Yep.
Because We're Drunk and We Know Things doesn't fit in the 140 character limit. That's now 280 characters.
And also, it's a ball ache to type out the hashtag We're Drunk and We Know Things.
I'm assuming it's on, like, it's in their dictionary.
You can use hashtags on.
You type hash W and it just pre-completes, right?
Yeah, 100%.
We did that deal with Apple.
100%. Cost us a pretty penny, but it was worth it. From our secret Patreon, which you shouldn't have mentioned.
The point, I suppose, about Twitter in the early days was that not only was it incredibly. Free. It was also very new because it allowed and detracted from the concept of blogging where you shared content. It was open.
It's like stream of consciousness, isn't it?
It's stream of consciousness, but also think about the audience. So Facebook is a closed thing.
Right.
Your friends can see your shit.
Yeah.
Bebo was the same. MySpace was the same.
Yeah.
What Twitter actually allowed us to do for the first time significantly was broadcast.
But that's why it was, and I'm probably getting ahead of myself and you're going to wrap my knuckles now. But that's why it was important with things like the Arab Spring and stuff like that, that it's live updates that people could get out that wasn't on news media and that kind of stuff, that they could actually broadcast
absolutely,
live events.
But a large
that
portion
kind of
that is literally, I'm not trying to be clever here, it's the distinction between having a closed network and a public network.
Which is why it's so good that they stopped chronological tweets.
Anyway, so Twitter was also growing so fast that actually there was a massive part of their history where the technology just couldn't keep up. The company could not keep up with their own popularity.
Right.
And that says something about the company.
They really captured something.
Good or bad. 2007, so the same year the hashtag's invented, Tumblr comes along.
Right.
And is immediately infested by furries.
Recently got rid of all their porn.
And porn.
Well, out of order.
Tumblr basically originally started as kind of a multi-format bloggy tool.
Yeah.
Where you could do images as well as text and what have you.
Yeah, yeah.
And develop this weird subculture amongst a certain specific subset of teenagers in kind of the late noughties.
Right.
They were on Tumblr for some reason because that's where all their mates were.
Wow. Okay.
This is, we're going to keep coming back to this. All the engineers and the nerds were on
Twitter.
It was
really big with like fan art and stuff like that as well. It was
I mean, it's weird because you've also got stuff like DeviantArt. DeviantArt is a community that actually founded back in 98.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're really
old. That is almost entirely fan art.
And they survived.
At least 50% like Woody fucking the horse or whatever.
It's graphic fanfic.
Yeah. Slash fic, I believe they call it.
Do they?
Yes.
I wouldn't know.
I would. What?
What's your Tumblr, Mike?
I wouldn't like to say. It's tumblr.com/SherlockBonesPicard.
I'm pretty sure they do it the other way around.
That's 100%
a thing. 100%
definitely a thing. Somebody has drawn Benedict Cumberbund boning Jean-Luc Picard.
Sorry, Patrick, but you did bring it on yourself. By having such a delightfully shiny head to hold on to.
So otter-like. Anyway. Such a head to hold on to. Good lord. He was a helmet with handles on it. Anyway, let's move on.
There's a whole bunch of stuff that we're still running through the classics. There's one more. 2008, a company called Foursquare. Do you remember
them? Oh, yeah. You go to a restaurant and say, this is a Foursquare place.
And Foursquare introduced another very important aspect, which was, at this point, I think 2007, the iPhone was released, right? So in 2008, we had the concept of geolocation. And apps.
And so it begins.
And thus, the gradual erosion of personal privacy began.
Oh, good. I can see we're on one here, aren't we?
We will be, but not right now. So Foursquare's big thing was the check-in.
Oh, this is going to be us shouting at the end of this.
The idea that not only were you sharing content, but previously if you wanted to say, oh, go and check out this restaurant, here's the address, or here's the website on Tumblr.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's their Facebook page.
Yeah.
Foursquare's big thing was, oh no, this is literally a pin in a map. You can go and find this and it will hook up to your maps and walk you there.
Oh, okay. Right.
So you say you've just had the best burger you've ever eaten in your life. I can see exactly where that place is.
Right, okay.
I don't have to bug you, I don't have to ask you. Businesses love it because they're getting kind of positive, negative feedback.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was it's fundamentally like a more accurate, still a closed, it was meant to be a closed social network.
Yeah.
So I would friend people, they could see where I was.
Yeah.
Because why would I want strangers knowing where I was?
Yeah, sure.
Twitter.
Yeah, Twitter.
Anyway.
Fuck it, Twitter.
And there are literally probably 100, if not more, additional ancillary networks that were all basically trying to do the same thing.
Yeah.
Because the minute you launch one, there's a million copycats and hang
about. Yeah, of course, yeah. And I've got a slight twist on the theme. Yeah. And they were pouring money into that kind of stuff at the time, so everyone was getting funding, yeah.
Yeah. So it's equally important that as we track the rise of the social network as a thing, we also then have to track its almost inevitable fall.
Yeah.
As we've said, Friendster lost audience to MySpace, and without an audience, a social network is nothing, and therefore Friendster went the way of...
The dinosaur.
The dodo, the dinosaur, and Di.
Princess Di?
Yeah.
Wow. Fucking hell. Right.
You've heard the joke, right?
No.
Okay. First the dodo died.
Right.
Then Di and Dodie died.
Right.
Dido must be shitting herself.
Oh, God. That is definitely a 20-year-old joke.
Oh, yeah. It's been around for a while, actually. I'm not sure. Is Dido still a thing?
Don't know.
I mean, I assume she's still alive. If not, that joke's in very poor taste.
It's Queen of Alexandria, I tell you that much.
Nice.
In the Aeneid.
MySpace. Classics. Why did MySpace die? Fail. It didn't die. It's still alive. We discussed that at length. There's a ping pong ball right next to you. Its face fell off.
Its face fell off. So it was just
MySpace lost its face.
It was just my...
No, it failed ostensibly because they tried to over-monetize. They tried to inject too much advertising.
Right.
And they had a very poor track record towards the end of its significant life.
Right.
With regards to security and spam.
Okay.
So it became a platform for malware delivery. It became a platform for some really nasty, spammy advertising.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I mean, this is before we had social networks that just allowed people to express whatever feeling they wanted.
Nowadays, you'd be completely used to it.
You had to circumvent the network.
Right. Okay. So, they had controls for people being horrendous pieces of shit then, and they've stopped using them?
Not really, because at the same time, people being horrendous pieces of shit then, they didn't have quite the same understanding of what they can get away with.
Sure, okay.
I think there's a curve that we were going to talk about when we talk about the social impact of these things, but along with the progression and the popularity of social networking, there is probably also a psychological progression of... ability to be anonymous online.
And
the understanding that these platforms therefore empower you to say whatever the fuck you want. Whether that is.
Because no one's
going
to come out to your house and punch you in the face. Sure.
I mean, they might do. They might actually not come around to your house.
If Facebook want to monetize something, if I could press a button and someone from Facebook goes around to someone's house and punches them in the face.
You have to upgrade to the platinum level where you get the boxing glove reaction.
You're brilliant.
Yeah, laughing.
Punch him in the face,
crying,
and then brand him with an
angry
F
face
with
a boxing glove.
And it, like, brand him with a Facebook symbol.
Interestingly, if you get up to world leader status, you actually get an M16.
Really?
You can literally have them assassinated.
No, world leaders only use Twitter, they don't use
and
Facebook.
Facebook will totally more than they've got people to use it for. Bebo, as I said, flipped into a new paradigm.
Right.
Unfortunately, it didn't manage to maintain its network particularly well.
Right.
Because generally speaking, a paradigm shift is the last... A pivot
it's
is
real,
the last
like,
desperate gasp
yeah,
of a social
we aren't
network.
Gonna
it's
compete.
Already way...
We're not
going to
compete
the ground.
With this, so let's try to do something else.
Yeah.
Sure,
it's
oh,
we're going to become a specialist food website.
Right.
Yeah, no, you
like
you
Facebook pivoted
gone.
For the alt-right. Like Facebook pivoted for the alt-right.
All right.
sorry. Facebook pivoted for Russia.
I don't think that was an explicit business
Facebook
choice.
Pivoted for Russia. Twitter pivoted for the alt-right. I'm sorry. I apologize. I always get them mixed up.
So let's think about... they're your classic social networks.
Yes.
You post information about your day.
Yep.
Or maybe a photo.
Yeah.
But
or every meal you've ever eaten, in my case.
Fundamentally, they were pretty much along the same idea, that you are posting small snippets of information, chronologically linked, that get shared out to a wider user base,
right?
Maybe with some form of commentary. That was it.
Sure. Which
there
is fine.
There were, as the concept of the social network takes hold, as we move into kind of the 20-ums.
Yeah.
A whole bunch of additional networks that started to arise that were much more specialised.
Right.
And they dealt with a specific paradigm. So the obvious one here would be Instagram.
Sure, okay. Yeah,
which was originally very much designed to be, and still is, a photography app.
Yes, that's why it's the one I like.
More importantly, they realised that an awful lot of people couldn't actually take good photos to save their lives.
So they did all the filters and
so
all that.
So they introduced the concept of the filter. Link that to the smartphone, you get this perfect storm, and all of a sudden, everybody's breakfast, cat, and leafy avenue is now on the fucking internet for all to see.
Why are you calling out my Instagram page, bro?
Not just yours.
Specifically.
Not just yours.
You mean I'm not the same as everyone else on the internet?
No, you are unique.
Oh, I thought I was building a unique brand.
Your Instagram is unique.
Listen, I'm an influencer.
No, you're under the influencer. So tell it to get off you at night. We also got things, and there are a couple that I actually quite like. So there's very, very specific verticals that have been tried before, but didn't work because of the lack of penetration of the actual technology. Now everybody, well, 50% of the people have got like smartphones and what have you, so you get things like Untappd and Vivino.
Yep.
For those who don't know, Untappd is a beer social network where you upload the beers you're drinking.
Yep.
Vivino is a wine version of the same.
So in here today, in fact, you uploaded a beer you were drinking and it popped up on a TV in the bar to say that you were here and you were drinking his beer.
Yeah, but also it means that people who follow me on
Untappd... The fact
that
you were sat underneath the TV is besides the point.
People who follow me on Untappd can see that if they ever come to Jersey that I went here and I had this beer and I rated it this.
Sure.
So if they want a good pint and what have you.
And Vivino is a similar thing, isn't it, with wine, where you go into a shop and you take a picture of a label and it says, this is what wine is, these are all the reviews we've got of it, and it tells you whether you'd like it, and
absolutely.
Blah, blah, blah. It's good.
And
it's actually useful.
It's this kind of crowdsourcing of knowledge that would be incredibly hard to do, because the knowledge is actually transient.
But is that not what,
their stock
is that not what the original BBSs were doing?
No.
Do you think those were... No, okay.
No.
Shit.
They were
trying to make a really nice, tidy point.
Stories like, okay, and what right, have you. Sure. And you need a specific platform, because the specific... data that you track around this stuff,
sure,
you know, beer and wine, you could do it on Facebook,
but it would be lost
no
in
to
the
search
it would lost, be lost
it.
In the ether, you know, of the beer, millions of other things.
That's it. A beer has a brewery,
yes,
and it has an ABV, and it has a bunch of other properties make it quite specific. Vivino, by the way, is worth having just so that when you're in a restaurant and they present the bottle of wine that they're going to charge you £50 for, you can scan it and realise you could buy it in Asda for about £6.50.
That is a legit good one.
Love it.
Yeah,
absolutely love it. I also quite like showing it to the sommelier, but not if I'm going back to that restaurant.
I've never done that.
Oh.
Fucking hell, that's funny.
Especially after he's
seriously,
done
mate?
The whole... I mean, don't get me wrong, there are some restaurants where their wine is legit top shelf.
Mm.
They've really sourced it, and you pay for it. Obviously, there's a markup, and I don't begrudge them that. There are some where they've literally got stuff. I can get this in the co-op for £2.
Our listeners might not all realise this. It is a thing in Jersey when sometimes you will buy a bottle of wine in a restaurant, and they bring it to you, and you've got it from at home because you bought that bottle of wine in co-op.
Yep.
In the local supermarket for £6, and then you bought it in the restaurant,
we're
and
on
it's
island,
28
so
quid.
A limited amount of
absolutely. It is. It is a very
still,
Jersey
it does
thing.
Does take the piss when you've got.
Wait, what? It's how much? Well, this is a particularly fruity. Listen, mate, I drank a bottle of this before I left the house.
Casa Viejo?
Yeah, exactly.
There's an entire
pub
chain, and that's all they carry in their Rioja range.
Like, yeah,
I know
yeah.
how much this costs. Yeah. I always have two bottles at home.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're getting sidetracked. Pinterest.
Ah, yes.
Do you know what that is?
I know, my wife's got it.
Yay!
You pin things to a board and you say, I like this.
Well, it's basically the idea of scrapbooking or pinboarding.
Right.
And again, it was fairly specific because there's not really much in the way of... Oh, it's huge.
People use it, you know. It's
not really much in the way of... The thing with Pinterest is the actual sharing paradigm is really weird because what you get rewarded for most on Pinterest is pinning things to your board. But you don't create those things. You just find them.
It.
Well, as in...
What a point to me.
Okay, the reward in any social network is engagement.
Right, are you sure? Okay, I see what you're saying. Sorry, yeah, sorry.
They don't pay you.
So the more stuff
if
you,
they did...
The more stuff you pin to it, the more engagement you get.
Yeah, but you don't...
I'm
there
saying
must
that
be
like
somebody...
it's stupid. I'd say it's like it's stupid, like me drinking a pint of beer and taking a photo of my glass and tagging the brewery in it and then being like, they liked it!
Yeah, but the difference there is you've created that content. The thing that I don't get with Pinterest is, who's creating content?
I read this article
because
and I like
most
it.
People just seem to repin. It's like, you know...
So it's just like just retweeting?
Yeah. Somebody
it
must be
weird.
Doing the original, but...
But
it,
so
not
you, can't create
sure who.
You can't create content within Pinterest?
I mean, you can, but nobody seems to.
Right, okay.
It's very strange.
So I read this article, I saw this cushion, etc.
Yeah. At risk of invoking... Actually, what do I care? We've said way worse things than this on this podcast. We meant some of them. Pinterest is fundamentally a female demographic dominated network.
Okay.
And by that I mean...
Women.
Her, she.
All right, Jesus.
That's right, I'll come on to pronouns in a minute.
Good, I'd rather you didn't. Let's not do that. What?
No. It is...
It's not a side of you I like to find out about.
It is a girly girl's tool. It
sure.
is somewhere
okay.
that they do with throw cushions
right,
and
yeah.
recipes and cookies. It's about... At the moment, I think sitting around about 80% female.
Oh, wow. Okay.
As in identified female.
Right, okay, yeah. I didn't know that.
Okay, so those
it's
are kind of the...
Twitter is 80% dickheads. I'm going to keep getting them digs in.
Dicks.
It's all right, you're on Twitter, but you're the 20% that isn't a dickhead.
I know. I don't need to be told that.
No, I just wanted to make sure.
It's fine. I mean, I'm also on the planet. I don't need reassurance. It's okay. You're not a complete cunt.
As long as I use the word complete. Let's move on.
Oh. We also we had a couple of different networks that attempted to, because by the time we get into like 2014-ish,
right,
the problems with the existing incumbent social networks of Facebook and Twitter fundamentally had started to become apparent. Maybe not to the degree that we now recognise them.
Sure.
Not like 5 years
Senate,
later.
Senate hearings and shit. Probably. But yeah.
But there were definite issues that were appearing, and
why does it always know where I am? Why does it know all those features
of
my face?
Also to do with commercialisation, to do with real name policy. And this is when I said, and I'm sorry, the tone was completely off, but when I said that actually the pronoun issue and the rising vocalism of alternate gender specifying individuals, and I don't really know what the terminology is because I'm not great at this stuff.
Sure,
but,
okay, that's fine.
Kind of the new wave of being you starts to become much more acceptable and much more public.
So people can take advantage of that and create a load of fake profiles on Facebook.
Yeah,
and
but part of
rules.
Part of that is the ability to basically claim your identity as your own.
Sure.
And Twitter especially maintained a very strict, and Facebook, a very strict real name policy.
Right.
Which flies in the face of that completely.
Yeah, yeah.
If I want to identify as Princess Consuela Banana Hammock,
but you don't have to.
That's my
prerogative, like,
right?
Give ID though, do you?
Well, no, but at the same time, the T's and C's are very clear. You will get your account shut down if they can identify.
Yes, but they're not shutting down accounts, Rob.
It doesn't matter.
Right. The T's and C's say one thing, but in practicality, that's not.
The T's and C's represent a cultural position, an attitude, right?
Sure.
And that attitude was very much at odds with what was actually happening with a lot of the people that were using these platforms.
Sure, sure, yeah.
And
like Twitter had a
whole
thing with the eggs thing, right?
Yeah,
you couldn't have an egg anymore.
So we get networks like Elo.
Right.
Which was an attempt to basically, they had no real name policy, they were very censorship resistant. They were designed and targeted because they'd learned fairly early on that you get your seed user base.
Yep.
And Elo's seed base was creatives,
right,
which also happened to include a lot of the people who had issues with the broader stream networks.
Right.
Just by demographic correlation, I guess.
Right.
Unfortunately, they also stand as a very good example of why it's very difficult to topple the incumbent in these spaces.
Sure. Yeah.
Elo is still a thing. I still have an account. I think our producer probably has an account. He looks like a giant hipster.
What? You've got an account? You've cheated on MySpace, you son of a bitch. You've got about six to 12 friends on MySpace still. Mostly indie bands from, like, Utah.
But now all of them have got 3 kids and a day job in a bank, but they're still touring. Elo is it's an interesting example of an attempt to upset an apple cart that it turns out was just too fucking heavy to upset.
So they came at the king and they weren't sure their shot.
Exactly. They still exist.
Oh, right, okay.
But increasingly,
on the periphery,
less and less.
So was there a point when, like, Facebook and Twitter were, like, buying up these little tiny things, and then eventually they just stopped because they were like, we're just going to put you out of business anyway, so fuck you?
Partially. I mean, the obvious acquisition.
Like Insta was bought by Facebook.
Facebook bought Instagram, but not because.
And WhatsApp, but that's a different thing.
Not because they were directly threatened by them, but because.
It was just like a cool thing that they could use.
Instagram had a massive user base, and they were doing something that Facebook wanted to be able to
and
say
I
they
really
did.
Hate about how they're turning. They're adding all the extra bits to Facebook from Instagram, which is fine. Do whatever you like to Facebook, because I think my days are numbered on Facebook. But I really don't like how the things are creeping onto Instagram, which are very Facebooky.
Yep.
And, Instagram is actually, I like Instagram because it's just pictures of stuff, and it sounds really stupid, but it's very inobtrusive, very not very invasive. It's just a cool thing. It's a cool channel for, like, the things I follow for movies and stuff like that, and it's starting to be encroached on by this Facebook shittery that
the thing
not
that I
for.
Really love is the correlation, and we'll get back to this. We may or we may not, actually, we can do it now. It's when you have both a Facebook account and an Instagram account, that's when interesting things start to happen on Instagram,
sure.
And you realise, wow. The other one I wanted to quickly reference was something called Path.
Path. Right.
As in walk down the...
Yeah, gotcha.
Which was actually a Foursquare competitor.
Right.
But it wasn't a competitor because it used the Foursquare API.
Right.
Hilarious. But it had this whole thing where Path was meant to be an aggregator and a broadcaster. So you used Path as your central interaction with, it would push out to Facebook, it would push out to Twitter, it would push out to Foursquare, and you could use it to do activity tracking. It was your path through life. So it would let you do, and I don't think it had an Instagram integration because Instagram has never had a read-write API. But it would allow you to take photos. It would allow you to track activities, like I'm watching a movie that Facebook had tried to do and it kind of failed.
Like that check-in thing, activity thing
to,
that Facebook did.
It would allow you to check into a location and that used Foursquare's data. So they tried to become this weird kind of meta network. And honestly, Path was amazing.
I quite like that.
It was brilliant.
Like
Unfortunately,
it sounds like it sounds a bit like if it had a Facebook, if an Instagram integration, it sounds like Instagram Plus a little bit. I'm checking in here. Here's a photo.
It was brilliant.
This
and
is
you
good
could
food.
See a little a little stream from your friends
without all the horrendous newsfeed of Facebook and shit.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
You could
like
see
that.
A stream of activity, you could approve of it and what have
and
you.
And if you could follow the same as I do on Twitter and Instagram, or did on Twitter and now do on Instagram, just follow famous people and stuff, like just checking in with what The Rock's doing all day and shit like that. I get a kick out of that. That sounds like a cool thing.
Jim, sushi. I'm pretty sure that, you know...
Making excuses for Kevin Hart.
Mike, I hate to break it to you. Starting with the Scorpion King, The Rock has been CGI in every single movie he's in.
No.
He doesn't actually act anymore. He doesn't need to.
I have to tell you this,
They perfected the model.
I am The Rock. I'm a motion capture archer for The Rock.
A Rock.
I just lie on the ground. I'm like a shapeless form.
Just to be clear, that's not the guy from Ready Player One.
No. Anyway, moving on.
Nobody got that.
No, it wasn't.
Path, unfortunately, didn't work because the trouble with meta networks is they have no inherent value.
Right.
Because the value belongs to the other networks that they're aggregating from and pushing to. And as a result, they got steamrolled by Facebook and their activity shit, and I do mean shit. They continue to get steamrolled by Foursquare. The cool integrations and what have you weren't enough. They actually turned off their servers towards the back end of last year.
So social media was a cool, exciting concept where it was like a new frontier, and then a monopoly happened, and now we're a bit fucked. It was an oligopoly, because there's a couple of things.
I skipped to the end of my notes. But
Oh, sorry.
The final concept that I'd quite like to talk about.
Your conclusion.
Before we get to the quiz. No amazing fact this month. Couldn't be asked. That's too depressing. All the numbers are too depressing.
This is how many people have killed themselves because of Facebook bullying. It's that kind of shit. I really don't like social media. I'm sorry.
Well, you might like this, because there's a new emerging concept that may or may not help. It certainly isn't going to fix.
Right.
And this is the concept of something that's referred to as the Fediverse. And this is
Roger Federer has created his own
Roger
social
Federer
media.
Has a social media.
The Fediverse. It's just tennis based.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also,
just pitches of balls.
Him and a bunch of confused FBI agents.
I've accidentally locked onto the. Yeah, brilliant. Brilliant. Don't look at me like that, Tim Anderson.
The main example of the Fediverse, I mean, let's quickly explain the problem that we have with most social media is they're centrally controlled.
Sure.
And this was a big problem.
Well, I think, to my mind, the best way to fix that would be federalisation.
Indeed.
It's almost like we had a very short conversation about
federation
this yesterday.
Federation is the word you're looking for.
Shit! Federalisation would be making it government controlled, wouldn't it? Shit!
I don't think that, to be fair...
Stop having a second glass of wine at lunch, Mike.
Right now, that would probably help.
Yeah, a little bit.
We can do anything we want. Why? Because they're there.
Oh, definitely. Facebook should definitely be brought under the control of the Trump government. That would definitely fix it.
I think it's technically already under control.
Just everything would actually just be in Cyrillic. They would just be in Cyrillic and like, no, we're not pretending anymore. Fuck it.
So the Fediverse is a new way to kind of break free of the idea that running a social network, a big one, is incredibly costly.
Right.
And there was a whole section that I've completely missed where I was meant to talk about technology. So maybe we'll do that in a minute.
We can cut it back in later.
We can just do it. Should we just do it now?
Let's do it now.
All right.
Let's come back.
I mean, all of these social networks have... they push the boundaries of what the systems that they're built on are meant to do in terms of user numbers.
Okay.
And, you know, the early social networks would have a million users.
Right.
Churning out, you know, a couple of updates a day.
And now there's billions with
and now
trillions of updates.
Trillions of updates every day. I mean, apparently something like 20 minutes on Facebook, and this was back, way back when, about 5 years ago.
Yeah.
There were something like 2 million posts every 10 minutes.
Oh my God.
As a result, there is actually a really solid positive impact in terms of what they've had to do is basically build their own systems.
Right.
Build their own software, build their own databases.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the standard ones just don't cut it.
So they've had to find new solutions which have essentially pushed forward the boundaries of...
Yeah. As a result, their engineering teams have basically become kind of thought leaders in the space. And a lot of this stuff, strangely enough, is open source.
Right, okay.
So, for example, you've got a project by Facebook called React.
Right.
That they use to manage their front end, their GUI.
Right.
The bit you interact with.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that has become probably the most popular way to build any kind of web application in the world.
Right, okay, right, yeah.
You know, and Facebook did that. They opened it up. They gave it away for next to nothing. Well, they gave it away for nothing, but the licensing was also fairly permissive, and now it's very permissive. Likewise, they developed a new database system that's called Cassandra.
Okay, yeah.
And Cassandra is fundamentally, it's a key value store.
Right.
Do you know what that is?
No.
Okay. Standard database, you're talking about columns and rows, right? It's like a big Excel sheet.
Yeah, 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 sure.
Yeah. Whereas actually, a lot of data that you need to store doesn't need that kind of structure. It just needs a key.
Right.
You know, Mike's post.
Right.
And a value, the actual content of the post.
Right, okay.
And the way that you can script these things and write these things and code these things is that that can be a much more efficient way of managing data.
So is that how they manage the news feeds and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. Everything in Facebook is in Cassandra. Facebook actually went to the point where, because it was originally built in PHP, which is a very popular programming language.
Okay, right, sure.
And it got to the point where they'd stretched the limits of what they could do with PHP to the point where they had to basically take PHP and rewrite the underlying programming language.
Oh, wow, okay.
So they called it, I think it was hip-hop. hip-hop VM.
Right.
HHVM. Twitter did the same thing. They had their front-end tool, the thing that makes Twitter look like Twitter.
Yeah, yeah.
They actually completely open-sourced and released something called Bootstrap. Which is why, when you're wandering around the web...
I've heard all these things, like Bootstrap and Cassandra and all that, React and all that
kind of
stuff.
They're fairly big hitters, but when you're wandering around the web, you'll probably come across a whole bunch of websites that look fairly similar.
Sure,
and all look a bit like Twitter.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
That's why.
Because,
because they're all using Bootstrap.
Right, yeah.
And you've got LinkedIn, whose contributions to a graph database system called Neo4j are legendary and what have you. So, the tech constraints that they were hitting at this point were huge.
Yeah.
And part of them also then speaks to the cost of running it.
So to say, so all of this stuff, in order to make all this new stuff, cost money, right?
Well, yeah, you've got to hire developers, and they're arguably some of the best developers in the world.
Is that why there's been an increased monetization of all these platforms?
Yeah.
Is that they've got to pay for this shit?
Well, Twitter used to have this boast that they would have two or three racks of servers that were dedicated to handling nothing but Justin Bieber.
Right.
And...
Right.
Their architecture isn't such that they were literally, they were Bieber servers.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
still, if you think about how much a server costs, how much a rack costs, and how much it costs to fill a rack with servers, and how much it costs to run it, Bieber cost them probably $300,000-$400,000 a month.
Fucking hell. That's mental.
Just processing him. Yeah. Probably more than that, to be honest.
So somebody comes along and says, can we sell some ads on your space? And you go, yeah, that would be good.
We need to monetize.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, Twitter famously were incredibly bad at monetization. They lost millions.
Well, I remember there was a whole thing where, like, Twitter's going to be dead in 6 months and all this kind of stuff. And is that because they were slow on the uptake of this monetization thing?
Yes.
Right, okay.
Facebook, on the other hand, famously not.
Hey, Cambridge Analytics, you want a load of data? We've got a logo and spare.
You can't see this. I'm doing the hand gesture of just like slapping out $10 bills. the distribution of hardware is an interesting problem because it means that if you wanted to disrupt Facebook, you would need to basically invest that kind of upfront capital. And Facebook have data centers. They build their own data centers.
Yeah, okay, yeah, sure.
One of the things that started to emerge is the concept of federation.
Mm-hmm.
And federation is actually the idea that you don't need to have a giant conglomerate running all of the system.
Right.
You can have nodes. And this is the same with the email works at the moment, right?
So you can have a number of different entities running the data centers.
No, you have a number of different groups or users. So if you think about how email works, your company, who shall remain nameless, has
so
their own email server,
or
several. So does mine, so does our producers.
Yeah, yeah.
Although apparently his is hosted by the same people that did Hillary Clinton, so...
Wah, wah.
And all of those systems can communicate with each other.
Yeah.
They are fundamentally federated.
Right, yeah.
That's what the concept is.
Right.
So we've got things like new social networks like Mastodon.
Okay,
PixelFed.
Yeah, yeah.
PixelFed being kind of an Instagram replacement. Mastodon is basically, it's a Twitter replacement. You don't tweet, okay. You toot.
You really? You toot?
Mastodon.
And no one told them that toot is a slang word for farting.
Yeah, but I think it's only a slang word for farting if you're seven.
Come on, Mastodon.
Interestingly, Mastodon, again, there is always this swell of new wave, normally the first ones into a network are the first ones out. Sure. And a lot of the people, again, going back to the LGBTQYX,
yep.
Z.
Sure.
Come on, guys.
Quit while you're ahead.
Yeah. No, all I'm saying is, seriously, yeah. just pick a different name. Just correlate. There we go. Were a lot of the first ones to adapt things like Twitter because it was open and free and Tumblr and what have you. And now they've realised these things are actually massively commercially controlled, centralised agencies. They're looking for the next thing. So they've looked to things like Mastodon, which are much more permissive. But also because each federated node can have its own rules.
Right.
If you want to join a completely right-wing or politics-free bit of Mastodon, you can.
Oh, and you're ring-fenced away from the other parts?
If you choose to be, or you can reach out and pull in select bits of the other parts.
Okay.
But it's not like Twitter where it's pretty much a free-for-all
and
anybody can retweet anybody
else.
Yeah. You can actually be very specific and selective. And if you dislike the idea of a company controlling all of your information, you can run your own node.
Right, okay. So in some ways, it increases the issue with like things like echo chambers and that kind of stuff, but also, at the same time, it does protect you from all the horrible, hateful shit that people like me left Twitter for.
There is a broader argument to say that actually the fundamental nature of tribalism and humanity means that the echo chamber is inevitable.
Sure, yeah.
We will naturally seek out people who share
really
our views.
I've never understood that whole thing about your Twitter feed is an echo chamber, but like, your whole life is an echo chamber.
Yeah.
I'm not, like, as much as I'm all for free speech and everybody having their own opinion, I'm not friends with a load of Nazis because I think, oh, well, everyone should have their fair shout. I'm just not friends with them.
Nazism is bad.
Yeah. It just, you know what I mean? Like, shockingly, I'm friends with a lot of
liberals. I think the idea would be that when you're using a global network and you're using that to reference and frame your own opinions on the world, saying, well, this must be right because I'm plumbed into the world.
Exactly, yes.
That's where the echo chamber becomes
a bit of
a failure.
Yes.
In the concept of actually socialising, an echo chamber is inevitable and indeed desirous.
Yes, because if that's what you want, like, I want Twitter and Facebook to just have some kind of, I'm not using it to make some kind of point about things all the time. I just want to read news about films without, every time there's a Star Wars post, a load of MRAs losing their shit.
Indeed.
You know.
Look at that. We actually managed to have a relatively well-reasoned conversation about the politicalisation and impact of social
media. I enormously lost my temper and put a tinfoil hat on.
Oh, it's good. It only took 3 takes.
There's still time, but
so off the
would
back
you talk
of that,
me down off the roof the second time?
Off the back of that very sensible conversation.
Sure.
It's time for our quiz.
Oh.
We don't have a jingle for the quiz.
I'll quickly sing one. No, I won't.
Please
don't. I've changed my mind.
We're drunk, does he know things?
Ooh.
So, are you ready?
I am, now.
Yeah, it took a while, everybody, to get this straight.
Yeah, run away.
Right, so the concept is very simple.
You're going to ask me questions, I'm going to answer them.
I'm going to give you the name of a social network.
Right.
Or a social network. Not because it didn't work, but because it isn't actually a social network, I made it up.
Okay, sure.
That wasn't laboured at all. I'm expecting about 50%.
Oh, yeah. So 9 out of 10.
So, the first one, is this a social network or is it not?
Yes. Oh, no, wait, I'll let you tell me.
English, baby.
Is it English baby or is it English baby?
It's English baby with an exclamation point.
Yes.
Amazing, that didn't work. I tried to push the right noise. But it is. It is a social network.
Your iPad is like,
it's fine,
we haven't even bothered adding.
They won't know.
It's like, nah, he's not going to get any right. We're not going to bother downloading the right
English
noise.
English baby was for students and teachers of English as a second language. was originally founded back in God knows when, because I didn't put the dates on here.
My idea was it going to be an Instagram, but for English babies. But now that I think about it, that's going to get abused very quickly.
Also, it's very niche. I mean, also, how do you know?
It's true.
I mean,
they've got to be holding their passport,
Baby passport, though.
Yeah.
And all babies look alike, so it could be anybody. Anyway, the next one, vampirefreaks.com.
I think that's a porn site and not a social media site.
Nope. It probably is a porn site as well, but it was actually a social network specifying members from gothic and industrial subculture.
Nice. So a lot of Tool fans.
So you got that one wrong.
I did.
You are now at 50-50.
I am now at 50-50.
Right. Next up. Right Tracks.
I'm going to say yes. And I say it's a music one.
I think it's a social network for train spotters or something.
I think it's about music.
No, it's not. I made it up. But it's also not funny. But you're now at 30. Okay. You're now at 33.3
recurring.
Oh,
then worth
recurring.
It then, Rob. Then worth it. This is an entertainment podcast, so it's
okay.
Fine.
Come on. Your next one. This one is funny. Klub.
Klub?
Klub.
C-L-U-B-E.
C-L-O-O-B.
Oh. What could that be for? Klub. It's noobs for Cluedo.
Is it a network or have I made it up?
Didn't you mention this earlier, actually?
Nope.
I'm going to say it is.
It is a very popular general social network.
Right.
Specifically popular in Iran.
Sure. Well, do they get Facebook in Iran?
Probably not.
No. Okay, sure.
Okay.
Oh, can I sign up to Klub? I feel like I want to.
Assuming you've got an Iranian sounding name.
I feel like I could get banned from Klub real quick. Have you ever found another man attractive? Banned! I don't think it's out of order to say
my
that.
My wife drove me to work
tolerant.
This morning. Banned! Oh, no, that's the soundies.
My wife went to the shops on her own earlier. Anyway, that's Saudi Arabia. Anyway.
Okay, next up. And this one you have to think about.
I've thought about all of them.
Dixter.
Shut up. It's just for people called Richard.
Is Dixter a social network?
I'm going to say yes again. Because
no,
I really want it to be.
It may be a porn site. I didn't go that deep
Dixter.
In the research.
It's just
Dixter
like Instagram for dick pics.
However.
But there's no women on it. Because why would they join?
Flickster.
Right.
Is.
Yeah, Flickster's a thing.
Yeah. Very famous film.
So I've got a Flickster account because I have a Flickster app which houses the Ultraviolet movies for
nice.
The digital downloads.
Do you
on
have
Blu-rays.
A Dixter account?
Again. No, but I will when I form that network tonight. Dixter.
You can't found it, though. You clearly you have to go and convince Tim Berners-Lee
oh,
he has to
yes.
found Dixter.com.
Oh, how have I missed that?
Okay, next up, Delicious.
No, that's a food website.
That's got you at...
Is it not a food website?
It's not a food website.
So I'm going to say no, so it's not.
It technically is a social network. It was
right.
a social bookmarking site where you could
right.
save websites that matched your interests and see right. bookmarks from others that had similar interests.
Right.
It was abandoned about 5-6 years ago when everybody realised this was a terrible idea.
Yeah, isn't it just a... What?
And the domain name was actually delicia.us.
Oh, very clever.
Yeah, smart.
Yeah.
And...
Oh, boy.
Your final one in the quiz, because we don't want to drag this out.
What am I on?
What have we got? So you got that one right, you got that one wrong. That was 50-50, that was 30. You did get Klub right.
Klub.
Dixter, you got wrong. So you're now 2 out of 5. Delicious, you got wrong.
2 out of 6.
And they got wrong again. So you're 2 out of 6.
Okay, so it's all to play for.
If you want 50%, it is all to play for.
9 out of 10, 50%.
Right. So your final network, Cucumber Town.
Cucumber Town. Yes.
From the people who brought you Dixter.
I'm just sticking with yes. I did all of them.
Cucumber
yes.
Town is a social network.
Right.
It's specifically, that one is for cooks and recipes.
It's not for doing press-ups in the cucumber field.
No. It was founded in 2012.
Right. Cucumber Town.
Well, what?
Right. Name 5 recipes off the top of your head that involve cucumbers. Not tzatziki.
Well, that's one of them.
Not except for that one, the obvious one.
Pickled cucumber.
Right, well, okay, cucumber salad. Cucumbers.
They could have been an ingredient in more
cucumber
things.
Sandwiches.
Niçoise salad has cucumber in it.
It does. But it's not a cucumber featured thing, though, is it?
No, but you didn't say name recipes that cucumber stars.
I'd call
in.
It Tomato Town, because tomatoes are in everything.
Frobscottle.
It is a social network.
Probably.
So 9 out of 10, nailed it.
Nice.
Perfect.
Smashed 9 out of 10. That ends the quiz, and with that ends our review of the social media of yesteryear.
This has been the tech segment of We're Drunk and We Know Things. We've been recording in JB still. We're drinking, still drinking Dutty by Tiny Rebel, although I need a drink, producer. Yeah, all right, how's your phone? Anyway, next month we'll be doing Z, or Z, depending where you are. So, see you then.
We'll
see
you then.
We'll see you then!
Okay, mic check 1, 2. This is about as loud as I'm going to go. You're probably going to need to knock that down a bit.
This is probably as loud as I'm going to go. I can't see the screen, but I'll assume I'm too loud.
Yeah,
yeah, Mike is fine.
Mike is fine.
It's because he's in the shirt.
He's fine like a wine. Like an aged claret.
Claret.
Claret in.
Claret.
Carrots in. I can. Can you visualise the cardioid enveloping his face?
The cardioid?
Cardioid, yes.
What's a cardioid?
It's the pickup zone for a microphone.
Ah.
And in this case, it's a whacking great oval, a bit like a giant peanut M&M.
You've done acid before you've done this, haven't you? You picked a fine day to start doing ayahuasca.
Right. Peyote. Now, what we can do, I suppose, is look at the rise of social media
right.
As people would recognise it. And this corresponds
Well, first
with...
of all, they burnt down the Reichstag. No, that's the other ones.
So...
I'm ready.
Are you? Because I'm sure as hell are.
I don't know what's in the quiz, so that's... I don't know. Maybe I am.
I don't know what's in the quiz either, and I'm still sorting my shit out.
Good. Well, I mean, this makes for seamless audio, then.
It does.
I thought you were about to show me
Should
the questions.
Should we start again?
Yeah.
Okay.